maintenance issues in the value chain that we buy liquid fuel to power the other plants. Okay. But the gas itself, Sankofa gas, we all know is very expensive.
Who negotiated it?
Well, you can answer that question. I know it wasn't the MPP administration. We all know. Mm. And so that puts the WACOG at a certain level. It's expensive. Of course, liquid fuel is dependent on the daily increases or reductions in the price of petroleum products.
Yes.
So if it rises, the price will go up. If it drops, right, consistent with the pricing window that NPA manages, it will come down. Okay, so yes, fuel is expensive. And that cannot be denied, whether it's gas or liquid. But predominantly because we use more gas as opposed to liquid fuel. Okay, so for example, last year, if my recollection is anything to go by, we had two maintenance outages for the year.
Mm.
There was an April one, Ghana Gas, and there was a September ENI. Altogether, about 36 days or so. It cost us almost $450 million to buy liquid fuel to power the plants for that period. Gas won't cost you anywhere close to that. Right?
Mm.
So at all times, our preference is gas.
Mm.
Sankofa will pay some $49, $50 million per month. That Ministry of Finance pays outside the cash waterfall mechanism. There's a post-foundation jubilee volumes that we are getting in the region of about $10 million per month. That Ministry of Finance is picking the tab outside the cash waterfall. Because if you put all of that in the cash waterfall mechanism, after paying the IPPs, some 43 or so million, now it's gone up to, I believe, 61 or 62 million. There's nothing to go around for the other players in the value chain.
Mm.
Okay, so the fuel being expensive is true, but I don't see, still don't see where that personal interest arises.
Mm.
It's only when we don't have gas that we of necessity.
Mm.
And presently, if we have issues with that, there's a maintenance outage that is coming on, I believe, in May, and then also in September, we necessarily have to buy liquid to complement the available gas that will be there.
But when you're talking, I mean, Mr. Danto mentioned about Sankofa, you said that, well, you can know where it's coming from. Now, from that analysis, isn't your negotiations and the negotiations that you leaders engage in influenced in any way by personal interest?
I don't know.
He won't say it.
No.
You can't say it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a question of I can't say it. I frankly don't know. Because there's an investment component that will determine whatever price point, negotiated price point that you reach. But it still doesn't take away the fact that you can make a conclusion whether the price is expensive or not. Your option really is to decide whether you want the investment or not. Okay, but Sankofa is extremely expensive. It's a matter of fact.
The negotiation of the Sankofa gas was led not by technocrats, but by politicians.
Okay.
And in the contract, we put in a clause that says, even if cheaper gas becomes available, we bind ourselves to take the expensive gas.
Oh.
But it was a take or pay.
And after that contract. After that contract, the Italian Prime Minister, for the first time in the history of this country's relationship with Italy,
flew to Ghana
as if to say thank you.
Mm.
I served on the World Bank Extractive Industries Advisory Board at the time. In one of our meetings, a remark was made that Italy, that's ENI, couldn't have gotten this juicy deal anywhere in the world. This is what we did to ourselves. So you're right, it's expensive, but we inflicted it on ourselves.
Did we not once upon a time have political meters? Was that not personal interest?
The shirt meters around the
exactly. So what are we talking about?
Who installed
them? Nobody can tell me that there is no personal interest in here.
Okay.
What we need to do is to be able to cure it.
Okay.
That's the most important thing.
Interesting. But Ms. Mesa, when you were speaking about fuel, gas, you know, Gridco asked government to increase gas supply from Nigeria. Have we had any agreement with the NGAS, and how much are we looking at?
Well, VRA is leading that discussion
okay.
with and gas, of course, with support from the ministry. Like I said, I've been in meetings with my minister in Abuja, speaking to the gas minister in Nigeria to see how they can support us. And I'm not in the position to confirm at this point whether they've reached definitive agreements. But like I said, there were bottlenecks in Tema, okay? And so with the pipeline going to Kumasi now, that bottleneck is going to be taken away for us to receive more volumes from Nigeria. And I'm sure that in a matter of days, that if it hasn't already been concluded, it would be done.
Okay.
Yeah. Once the minister is here, let me ask a question.
Okay.
There are associated and non-associated fields. And probably because of this whole thing about renewables, associated fields might be difficult to drill. Between the time of this government being in place, not one exploration have we done. Why don't we go in there and look at, let's find non-associated fields and start drilling associated fields so that we get our own gas. Mm. All this gas that we are buying, it is money we don't have. Because when you look at all that we are discussing, where's the end point? Finance.
Yes.
That's where the end point is.
Mm.
So if you're going to look at this thing, we can break it down. Where is the finance going to come from? That's okay. The issue that we should try and answer.
All right, interesting. But
wait, you better more than I know where the finance in upstream exploration comes from. You.
But gas is a transition fuel.
Of course.
That's why I situated it in non-associated fields.
I don't have a problem, but you still have to do exploration. You still have to invest in drilling to bring out the gas.
Yes. Yes.
And you know
it's a transition fuel, right?
It's a question of transition fuel. For me, it doesn't play in this.
But it's not something
we need the gas. But you need the gas. You
have the same process you go through.
Through to explore oil. Same.
And the same for oil.
Okay.
For me, the worry is that our fields, the three fields, seems to be plateauing. Okay. If you look at the data for the last 3 years,
that's the point I'm making.
It's been declining.
So we need to explore.
And so if we don't add to this, then we have a problem.
Okay. Yeah, but I agree with you. But of course, when we came, we've added to the reserve. You say it's not a new field, but Jubilee Southeast was a new development that has added 30,000 barrels to our reserves. Of course, Pecan, we all expect it to come on stream very, very soon.
Ultra deep.
We've given approvals for ENI to explore Akoma and what you call it, Eban. Okay? We are having discussions with Jubilee partners on infrastructure-led exploration within the neighboring fields. And all these things are happening.
Okay.
So
all right.
It cannot be the case that we haven't done anything in the past period.
We've got in ENI to prioritize investments in Cote d'Ivoire over Ghana. And that chief executive of ENI has relocated from the country.
Yeah.
Because he's been sought after for allegedly contempt of court and all that.
Yeah.
So they are channeling most of their investments into the Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
Why don't you give attention and resolve this matter with ENI once and for all?
Where are we on that case?
We're expecting the outcome of the arbitration sometime in June, July. You see, I agree. And over the period that I've been at the Ministry of Energy, I've had extensive engagements, or I've been involved in conversations with ENI to try and settle the issue between themselves and Springfield.
Okay.
That's another one.
The point is this.
These are two private right owners. Two private. ENI and Springfield.
Mm.
There's a limit to what you are the resource owner, can do. It's a question of law. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that every time that I hear the talk about ENI Springfield, the sense I get is, but why don't you allow ENI to have its way? Because that's exactly what they want. Please,
no,
with respect.
No, I'm agreeing with you. It shouldn't be.
Precisely.
It shouldn't be.
So that's exactly that's exactly what the government has sought to do. That look.
Shouldn't okay. be.
Okay.
We would help you guys to resolve your dispute, but it cannot be to the detriment of one party or the other, against
exactly.
the other.
Okay.
No, I agree.
So yes, let it play out. And we can't be blamed for letting the process, due process, play out.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Now, even if we get Springfield and all of them to come on board, we still need to pay for the gas they produce, right?
Certainly.
And that's where I come to Mr. Michael Yantichi.
But we would be getting the gas that fire the our turbines.
Okay. Yeah. When we pay.
We'll find the money to. We have to find the money to pay.
Okay.
Bami, it's not
but,
as simple.
But Mr. Let me go.
We are not paying for Jubilee gas.
Yes.
Even though we are supposed to pay. We are not able to pay.
Yeah, so we owe them. And exactly. I know Talo has been complaining.
Find the money.
Now, let me bring in Mr. Yantichi here, because, I mean, all the discussion we are having, everybody says it's about money. So when the VRA produces power, grid consensus to ECG, and ECG sells it, ECG needs to generate the money. But everybody says ECG is not able to collect it. Why are you not able to collect monies for power you sell to customers?
Well, I think we can't just isolate the issue and just say it's all ECG. It's a whole value chain.
Okay.
And sometimes we have this fixation that everything, ECG is the weaker link. ECG is the weaker link. Are we really looking at the role and the interconnectedness of the other actors? PURC is there supposed to be the referee. Gridco VRA. We are talking in the situation where we have scarce resources to utilize. I think Mr. Jantua mentioned it earlier. Are we maximizing the use of even the gas that we have? Are we applying it to the plans that will give us maximum from the little that we have? And all these have cost implications. ECG is at the tail end. The power that Gridco is giving to ECG, over the month, ECG generates bills for IPPs. Is there a transparent arrangement for ECG to know that this bill I'm paying over this month is indeed equivalent to the power that has been allocated to me?
Why, there's no way that you're able to tell that?
The system operator is the one who is to provide that information.
Okay.
But periodically, ECG doesn't get that information. Have we heard anything from PURC about this? So whether ECG is paying more or is paying less, it's also an issue. So there is the need for some transparency to be established also among these active players. Gridco, ECG, VRA. We are talking about collecting.
But this is interesting. So in every month when you are paying the IPPs, you are saying that you generate invoices for them and you pay, you are not able to tell whether you are paying for the right and amount of power given to you to sell.
Because Gridco is not providing that information.
Wow. So how are you then able to pay them? So you determine that today I'm giving 10 million or 20 million just like that to them or what?
So that's why there's a standing arrangement with the IPPs. So periodically, something is being paid. But the information must be made available. And PURC has a key role to ensure that this information is made available to ECG. Then you come to even collecting the monies. You know, ECG puts in a lot of effort, and everybody who wants to be objective can attest that for the past almost 2 years, the effort has been made to enhance the revenue. It comes with a cost. Who is paying that cost? Is ECG alone able to bear all the cost? Go to the distribution charge, compare it previously and now. Is it at the same level that will enable ECG to effectively carry out its mandate? Then there are also this subtle thing being played out between GRIDCO and VRE, where because of the some loophole in the law, some key customers of ECG are being poached. And these were customers who could pay easily and contribute towards the cash waterfall. But ECG is losing these customers. GRIDCO, together with VRE, is giving them some form of rebates. So whatever was going to come from these customers, which will have increased the cash waterfall, is being lost. But this is going on. Not very long, B5 has been taken away from ECG. And it was a major customer. And collection from such customers doesn't involve a lot of effort. As you lose some of these key customers, now you have to spend more to be able to get the required revenue to go into the cash waterfall. Look at the recent intervention that this new management brought in. It's all cost. But it's being made to appear as if that, oh, it's ECG alone that should bear all the related expenses.
But isn't it because you also abandoned the cash waterfall mechanism, such that you are being accused that when you even collect, you don't pay into the cash waterfall mechanism? So once VRA, GRIDCO are all suffering, they decide that let's go after your customers who pay so that they can also survive.
So again, that comes into the whole issue of the transparency and the role that PURC also ought to play to ensure that there is this fair arrangement in the system. ECG cannot be made to be the only one to, because it's the one that have direct interface with the customers, to bear all the brunt. If there are other things that the regulator also need to ensure that upstream is streamlined and is assisting ECG in its work, that should be done. Now you are talking about the cash waterfall, and everybody is asking, oh, ECG was not paying or complying. Yes, if there is proper communication between the regulator and ECG and other players, before you introduce the single account system and ask that all money should go into one account, has anybody asked whether there were certain accounts that has some lien in relation to the revenues that were coming? Because ECG had also taken some facilities which it had to pay. And some of these facilities were collateralized with some of the revenue. Now, it's also a contract. The banks would definitely not just pass all the money through and will not take their due.
But I thought this matter has been resolved.
When?
It's one of the engagements that have taken place in the past month.
Past month?
Of course.
So it's resolved?
As far as I'm concerned, it's resolved. So I don't see why you should.
No, has the loans been paid off that you say is resolved?
Okay.
If the loans are still existing, how is it resolved? Because these are facilities, not short term. So I don't know what you are as the sector minister. Perhaps you have some information, I don't. But if the facilities are there and they are not paid off, and now all the monies are being channeled into the single account, then even coming to the non-compliance with the cash waterfall, if you go back, the erratic power we are experiencing from the beginning of the year had become more severe.
Okay.
Why? Because before or during the last quarter, ECG was buying some fuel based on instructions from the ministry.
Okay.
And so that supported the system in a way. Since January, ECG hasn't bought any fuel. And that's the consequences we are all experiencing.
How much fuel were you buying in a month?
Well, the instructions were coming from Ministry of Finance, so I don't have the figures offhand to mention. And now some of the those monies which were supposed to have gone into the tier two to pay some of the SOEs were used to buy this fuel, and Ministry of Finance will have to refund before these payments are made.
Oh.
They haven't been refunded.
Okay, interesting.
So there are a whole lot that all the actors need to really sit and engage and do away with this suspicion which is creeping into all the relationships.
Okay.
And everybody is suspecting somebody is hiding this, somebody is hiding this. But if we are not careful and we are so fixated, a time is coming if we are not very careful. We are going to virtually put fetters on the operations of ECG.
Okay.
And then it's going to affect the whole of the cash waterfall system.
But Kojo, who gave...
Before I come in here, sorry, let me acknowledge that we've been joined via Zoom by the Ranking on the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament, John Abdullahi Jinapo. He joins us via Zoom here. We also have Dr. Ni Dakwa Sante, who is former PRC commissioner, also joining us via Zoom. And we still have the chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee, Honorable Samuel Atacha, with us. You wanted to make a quick point?
I wanted to find out who gave the instruction to ECG to buy fuel.
Is that the Ministry of Finance?
Yeah, is that their responsibility? Is that what ECG does? Are they the ones to buy fuel? And if it's Ministry of Finance, which minister gave that instruction? Because if for nothing at all, the money should have come from Ministry of Finance if they wanted ECG to purchase.
Okay, so what you're saying, in fact, is that Ministry of Finance should not be ordering ECG to buy fuel.
Exactly.
But Mr. Yantichi, which companies were benefiting from this fuel? Because we have a petrol here, so you can confirm or deny. Which companies were benefiting from the fuel you're buying?
Oh, the fuel definitely still go to the IPPs for the... I cannot specify specifically which of the plants, but this fuel were purchased.
Okay.
Unless somebody is repudiating that there was no procurement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he can confirm because he's a chamber. But again, how many of your customers apart from B5 has been taken away from you?
Oh, for now, on top of my head, I remember the B5, and then also some time ago, some of the mines were also taken away.
Okay.
I think there's one steel plant, which is also more or less being targeted.
Okay.
I don't know whether...
There were some discussions also with Royal Century Hotel.
Yes.
And
when
even approaches were even made to send you.
Okay.
And so all these are...
Okay.
You see, let's be forthright with some of these things. So you know that the regulations allow customers within a certain consumption bracket to be licensed to buy power directly.
Berkeley, yes.
Yeah,
it's been in the mining sector.
From VR.
Mining sector.
Mm. Okay, so, and truth be told, yes, I empathize with ECG because if you have a customer that you can just make a phone call to their finance director and they send you a check as opposed to chasing customers in, say, Ashaman, or even come to eat or whatever, then it's easy and you will want that customer. But they complain about reliability of power from you as basis for why they want to leave, in most cases. But if you cannot assure them, they have a plant that they expect to run 24 hours and you are not giving them the power to enable them to run 24 hours. Thus, they move. I've seen letters from Centio requesting for the ministry's support to go directly to VRA to go and buy power.
Mm.
Grid code doesn't generate power,
no.
So it can't sell power.
Mm-hmm.
It is only a transmission company. If you ask him to move a line to a specific location, that's what it does and charges you for the transmission. So please, some of these things.
Let me ask you this question. Mr. Mensah, why is it that companies will have reliable or say stable power from a supply from VRA and not from ECG? Because it's not the same system they all operate on.
I just mentioned to you that the outages numbers, right? 85% of it is ECG problem.
Okay.
It's not grid cool. It's not the generation problem. That's only about 15% per data that I have seen. So you see clearly that if you are relying on ECG system for a certain kind of industry that requires power 24 hours, tendency for you to want to go, especially if you are a bulk consumer, to go directly to get from the generator is high.
Oh, interesting. Look, no, you wanted to ask.
It's not a fair arrangement. You see, we have ECG. That goes after its debtors and sends caution that, look, I'm going to cut hospitals, prisons, schools, and we all cry out. No, you can do that. You can do that. And then those companies, the reliable, the assured revenues, we take it away from them. But you see, how do we expect them to be able to raise the revenue, to make the needed investments in the operations to improve the service?
Mr. Mantiao,
this is a question we must answer.
No, I don't have a problem. We'll deal with it. You see, in fact, the bulk consumption threshold was actually lower. The minister directed Energy Commission to increase it.
Okay.
So that you limit the
number of people
who have the ability to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been dealt with. Unless, of course, you're saying that take it away completely.
No, conversation has to review.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying that has been done. But
you see,
I empathize with ECG 100%. No issues at all. And we need to support them to enable them collect more. But it doesn't matter whether you are a 50 CD consumer or 2,000 or 2 million CD consumer. Everybody has to pay. And they have to go and collect the money from everybody who has to pay.
No, but you know, some of these cases are very sensitive.
Because if you have the commercial losses alone,
would you support these hospitals?
No, we don't support it.
Yeah.
Because there's an arrangement and they don't have to cut hospitals.
Who pays for the hospitals?
Ministry of Finance.
And are they
paid? Schools, of course, they do.
Are they up to date?
Ask them. They've done a reconciliation risk every end of year.
And they do a reconciliation and pay them. And they ECG bought for the country?
Which FUA? I'm not aware of this FUA that he says.
No, you ministry. Of,
no, I'm coming. Yeah. I'm coming. That, look, very recently there was a reconciliation that was done.
Right.
That Ministry of Finance transferred almost 250 million CDs to ECG. For bills for these institutions.
Over what period?
Okay, no, of course. They may be outstanding. And you have to follow up to get your bills paid, whether it's from Ministry of Finance or from any entity. I don't have a problem at all. But to suggest that nobody cares when they take hospitals out, it's not the case because they are not supposed to do that. And we've indicated that to them. I've been in meetings where they've been told quite categorically that because Ministry of Finance pays for these bills, go to Ministry of Finance for your money and don't cut hospitals, schools, and other places. Okay. That's very clear.
Mm.
Clear.
So let me. So they go to Ministry of Finance, they don't get the money. What do they do?
But of course, Ministry of Finance pays a lot of bills on behalf of ECG. Indeed, they do. Okay.
On behalf of ECG.
On behalf of ECG.
Right.
Indeed, that's exactly what they do. For cost.
Is it
almost 70 million?
We need to take another look at the financing.
I don't have a problem.
I don't think we've been very prudent with the financing of ECG.
Okay.
We have not been prudent at all.
But you see,
even the management of the e-levy, which is meant to deal with some of the debts in the sector, has been shabby. There have been instances where monies have been diverted for other purposes. And so we need to critically look at that. We are managing ECG financing like a chop-bar type of accounting.
But that's not
the best.
No, you see, with respect, who is managing ECG finance? ECG finances are managed by ECG.
I'm talking about financing of the ECG.
I'm coming.
They are all money.
ECG is a limited liability company.
Right.
Okay? Yes,
right.
They provide a social service.
Right.
No issue.
Right.
And when government owes them bills, you can suggest that pay timeously. I don't have a problem, but they pay.
There is no timeously.
I don't I'm saying that.
You know, it's not timeously.
Of course, you can.
And it has impact.
You can advocate. I pay them monthly. and they have to be able to have a conversation with Ministry of Finance to enable them to do that.
Mm.
But I'm saying that to suggest that hospitals are cut and nobody cares cannot be accurate because these bills are taken by the exchequer and they pay ECG.
Okay.
Could you let me ask just a simple question?
Okay.
Then very simple one.
Mm-hmm.
We pay in our electric bills street lighting.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that man? Why aren't there streetlights on the roads?
That you try, question would go to
you. Try driving at night or early in the morning with no markings on the roads. Mm. It kills people. Why aren't we paying? Why aren't we getting the streetlights when we pay for it? This is a microcosm of the problem.
The responsibility of the assembly.
Whatever the case is, ECG collects it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to it? Do they take it to the assemblies? And if they take it to the assemblies, what is the money used for?
Okay.
It's financing.
ECG will collect it. Well, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
ECG will collect it, not to provide the street lights, but to pay for the street light bills. The power that they put in the street lights.
Mm-hmm.
Because the street lights, public lighting. Somebody has to pay for it.
There's no street lighting on the roads. What are they paying for?
Okay, all right. Thank you, gentlemen. Let me bring in Apetobo because, I mean, Ms. Nyantiju was talking about some fuel they bought and what have you, and then payment as well. These guys, the independent power generators, are the center of this. First of all, confirm for us. We're receiving some fuel from ECG.
Thank you very much. Mm. We've been receiving fuel from them.
Okay.
That is true.
Mm.
Those of us that can run on liquid fuel, we take fuel from them.
Okay. And that's on a regular basis?
As and when the need arises, like Honorable Minister said, the primary fuel for most of our plants are natural gas. It's natural gas. So anytime they foresee shortage or problem with supply of gas, they make arrangement for LCO.
Okay.
So for some time now, we've been receiving that from ECG.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about payment through the cash waterfall mechanism to you, the IPPs? Because last year you threatened to shut down your plants because you were not being paid.
Yeah, at the time that we came to that decision, practically the cash waterfall wasn't working.
Okay.
It will interest you to know that the committee exists. We don't know what goes in there. All that we receive is an alert of payments. We have actually complained, written several letters to government to give us opportunity to serve on the cash waterfall committee to know what actually comes in and what is being shared, but that has been denied. Okay. So we felt something strange is happening somewhere. The flow is not coming. There was a time it will surprise you to learn that we have some companies have received 200,000 Ghana cedis as payments for power plants, 700,000 Ghana cedis. Very low, you cannot do anything with it. So we thought that we cannot continue with this. That was when we took a decision that come the end of May, we're going to withdraw our services to ensure that we receive payment for our services before
May 2023. This is historic.
Yeah.
Before somebody.
Like I was gonna, anyway, but he also said that they are also not able to tell whether they are paying you for the right amount of power you supply them. So it's a problem. And you're also saying that that's also a problem for you. But you don't know how much exactly you're being paid for.
That can be a problem to them because for us, we have accurate records of what we have generated and what we have delivered to them. So for us, we use our data to bill them monthly.
Okay.
So if they are not able to reconcile what they are receiving from Greco, that is another matter. But for us, our records are accurate. We do the metering with their supervision, Greco's supervision, so they know what we generated and what has been delivered.
Mm. Mm. So for your members, how much are you owed now as we speak?
As we speak off head, I cannot give a figure yet because there are some discussion or reconciliation going on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I cannot speak to a specific figure.
But is it substantial?
Definitely.
In the region of
what was before the decision to shut down is largely unsolved. Going forward too, there is still an accumulation going. That is also another matter.
Mm.
So it's still in the region of $1 billion.
In the region of $1 billion.
Yes.
Okay. Now, last year, whilst this whole discussion came up, ECG promised to remain current. Are they still current with their payment?
Yeah, they are doing their bit as we speak. They are covering up to about 70% of the current invoices.
Okay.
That is when we do not consider the full cost. But when we consider the full cost until they are paid, they are doing about 30% the reverse.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting. And that's why the debt is still around $1 billion. Mm. Anyway, let me bring in at this point in time the ranking on the Mines and Energy Committee. He's ranking on the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament. So let me bring him in. Mr. Jinapol, thanks for joining us here. You've listened to all the discussion, especially the banter between Mr. Yantechi, Lawyer Mesa, Dr. Mantea. What do you make of what really is happening in the sector? I mean, we've heard of all the issues that have come up today. You also have a lot of fact on what's happening in the sector. Having listened to what they've said here tonight and what you know, what's really at play?
Thank you very much. I've been following. I've traveled, so we are here to meet the IMF. And the key issue, as far as the IMF is concerned, is the energy sector.
Mm.
IPP is a little over 1 billion. Well-related expenditure, almost 800 million. So today, if you were to flush out the energy sector debts and bring the books to a healthy path, you will need about $1.8 billion in order to deal with energy sector-related debts. And so that's a colossal amount. And almost every investor you meet, their concern is, how is Ghana going to deal with the hydra-headed problem of energy sector-related issues? First of all, I think that there's been a lot of policy inconsistency. First, why would the Minister of Finance write to ECG without passing it through the Minister of Energy, authorizing ECG to procure fuel? ECG is not a generation company. ECG is a distribution company. You need somebody with knowledge in the generation sector to determine the spec of fuel that you are buying, who has the track record, so the person can negotiate for better terms. So why is ECG being asked to buy fuel? That's very awkward. And why is the minister doing so without recourse to the cash waterfall mechanism in terms of the committee that administers the cash waterfall? That's one. Another serious problem is that the ministry itself, and you see, it's not about what Honorable Japa says. At this moment, what we depend on is official document put out by the PURC. Since August, the ministry has not paid anything to ECG in respect of these hospitals that we are talking about, hospitals, police service, and all that. And if you read the report from PURC, you can confirm it stated explicitly that since August, the Ministry of Finance has failed to pay that money. And now you're looking at about 1.6 billion. That's also some outstanding debt. Then worrying is even the current bills. We were told that ECG was staying current, and Honorable Atachian is right here, he chairs the committee. When we interrogated, it turns out that ECG has rather committed to pay 70% of the current bills, accumulate the 30%, promising the IPPs that should be paid somewhere in 2026. If you look at their cash flows clearly, they cannot pay that money. And so even the confidence is not there. Then gas bills, gas that is supplied and consumed, not capacity charge gas. Now the gas is not even adequate for the thermal plants. So we are no more in an era of capacity charges. If you read the PIAC report, and Dr. Stimantiao has done a lot of work there, so he can check and confirm. Over 600 million of raw commodity gas, raw, not processed gas. At that time, Jubilee gas was foundation gas. It was free. Today, that gas is not free. And so the bill is compounding at an astronomical pace. Now the solutions. One, let's face it, the tariff structure is not cost reflective. That's a fact. If you look at where the exchange rate was, and bearing in mind that in the energy sector, about 80% of the recurrent expenditure is dollar denominated, and you look at whether based on political reasons or whatever, why the exchange rate is depreciating and cost is increasing, we're told that some category had a reduction of 6%. And so the bills are compounding and it's threatening the sector. Look, my worry is that if we continue on this trajectory, in 1 year time, the sector will collapse. And that will have a big way on the economy. So I think that we should look at the tariff structure. That is one.
Okay.
Two is that I'm so convinced that ECG alone cannot efficiently collect the monies. And we should relook the PDA structure and see whether we can get some private sector participation in terms of the collection. Because at committee, they indicated that they collect 70% of the amount. We asked for that amount, and that 70% is about 1.2 billion. So when you find the 30% of the global figure, it means that over 500 million CDs every month is not collected. 500 million every month times 12 takes you to somewhere around 6 billion CDs. That's a colossal amount. So I think that we need to look at ECG and its collection, not necessarily do a full privatization, but if we can have some private sector participation, especially with the collection, and then get Ministry of Finance in particular not to run the energy sector as if it is an appendage of the Ministry of Finance, get the Minister of Energy to take full charge and empower PURC and the Cash Waterfall Committee to ensure that the monies are lodged in one consolidated single treasury. So that even if ECG is taking facilities, that committee can engage the banks and ensure that part of ECG's allocation is used to deal with that liability. When we do that, we would see some level of reduction. Because now the losses has risen to about 30%. No industry, no electricity company in the world can survive with 30% losses. It's not done anywhere. But I'm sure if we can deal with the political side and allow some autonomy and some level of responsibility and accountability, we can reduce some of these losses.
Interesting. Interesting you make the point about privatization, because yesterday, Asantini also made the same point at the commissioning of that plan. Let me bring in the chairman of the committee, Honorable Samuel Atacha. He's been very patient with us on Zoom. Honorable, what do you make of this whole idea of privatizing? Now, your ranking says we should look at taking a real look at the PDS structure to look at whether we can privatize an aspect of it. The 024 says we should privatize all players in the energy sector. What do you make of all of these proposals as to how we can really deal with the issues confronting the sector going forward? Chair, kindly unmute so we can follow what you're telling us. So we're on with...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes, yes.
Yes. There is the preponderance of international data, which is showing that the private sector indeed is the engine of growth, and they drive the economies of some of these advanced countries so well. They generate good results. So I wouldn't want to sort of go against the general thinking that sometimes the states... unholy hope on some of these sectors have come about, has brought about some of the problems we have. Look at the monopoly of British Airways to Heathrow. We used to have Ghana Airways, and that helped. It was competitive, and it collapsed. So the overlord of the Asantes has made a very, very powerful point that there's necessity to bring it into the hands of the private sector so that they'll be able to do it well. I can see that as a very powerful option in the future. But in the meantime, I agree with Rankin that something should be done about a collection of revenues by ECG, because essentially that's where you find a vicious cycle. Under collection, poor money available to the IPPs, and all over. And they will not be able to find what they need to generate optimum capacity, and then they bring to you, I mean, what is not very small, and then you have the quality. But what has become a pain for me right now, listening to the gentleman called, I don't know whether it's Dr. Nyantisi.
Oh, Mr. Nyantisi.
He makes a point. Mm. Yes, it makes a very sad point. Now, ECG is trying to say that we are not aware whether the invoices we settle are validated. My God, I couldn't believe that is true. Mm. Now, where is this arrangement in which you are paying for the unknown? And that is very frightening. So if PRC and the rest of them who are doing the technical regulation, I mean, I'm not looking at this dimension of the whole arrangement. It creates a big problem. Because in the world, every service supply should be properly involved. Mm. Because if we are not careful, then somebody is trying to use, what's it called, a sieve to gather water. So I'm very, very much concerned. But let me also chip in what has been said about the capital outlay. The capital outlay is huge, and the debt overhang is huge. The only thing my good brother didn't say is that these are, if you like, ancient troubles. If you pay regard to the State of the Nation address, one of the things that the president actually said is that the renegotiations of the debt in the energy sector is going to give us a saving in the neighborhood of about 9.1 billion.
That's very problematic, Chairman. That statement is very, very problematic. I deliberately avoided the politics.
Well,
I just wish we don't get there. I mean, well, I've looked at that, and I'm asking the president, where did he get that figure from?
Well, I have not seen any thing saying otherwise, because he gave the breakdown. And because of time constraint, I'm unable to read page 17 of the State of the Nation address. It's all there. But
oh, fortunately, we've lost Chairman. But we'll still get Chairman back on the line, and then also get Mr. John Jinapoy still with us on the line. But let me come in studio and find out what. Yeah. So Mr. Jinapoy, you disagree with the Chairman there on what the President said. Why do you disagree?
Because he chaired the committee when the IPPs appeared before us, and the IPPs even told us right there that they haven't signed off anything. Chairman chaired that committee, and then we agreed that until you sign off an agreement with somebody, you cannot rush to come and tell us that you've made savings. You haven't even signed the agreement. How do you talk about savings? Then this issue of recurrent expenditure, it came up at committee that ECG was paying only 70% and that the 30% would accumulate, and that 2026 somehow, some way, you make that bullet payment. And so, yes, the president made a political statement. I think that we are focusing on how to address this challenge. I didn't want to deal with that. When we have a political discussion, where Mr. Steve Mantia and Kwa are not there, maybe we, the politicians, are engaged in this, we can interrogate that. Other than that, we are tempted to then move into a political arena. But Chairman will confirm that at the committee, the IPPs did indicate that they have not even signed the negotiations. And we said, until you sign the negotiation and agree, the current agreement persists. But lastly, the debt that I'm talking about, Chairman, you may be right. There may be some legacy debt. And I have looked at the ESLA PLC. Dr. Simantio talked about it. 9.7 billion. Your ring fence, 6 billion. The remaining 4 billion has compounded. And when I did my calculation, currently that should be about 8 billion. When you add the 6 billion, that should take you to about 14 billion legacy debt. That has moved from 9 billion to 14 billion because you are not using ESLA properly, and we can deal with that. But I'm talking of current debt.
Okay.
Raw gas supplied and consumed, almost $800 million. That's a huge amount. You consume the gas, you generate power, people consume, they pay, and yet you have an outstanding debt. Then the very last one, What government did was that government and IPPs are there.
The 800 million.
While we were being told that the energy sector debt was being paid, what government rather did was to convert the debt into a bond. And the chamber is there. Now, under the IMF agreement, because of the debt sustainability analysis, the IPPs are being told to take a haircut. And they've dug their heels. They say they are not ready for that haircut. So, in principle, even though government absorbed the liability, payment effectively hasn't been made and it's still a liability. I think we should be careful drawing some of these conclusions because it can be very problematic.
Let me clarify.
Well, I wanted to ask a question, but Lomessa wants to make some clarification.
I don't know where this 800 million raw gas debt that you're making reference to.
Well, let me just open the PIAAC report whilst you talk. I'll quote the page for you.
Okay, because
I'll open the PIAAC
because
report and quote
I know that Talo is owed, right, post foundation when we were supposed to start paying for the gas, is owed in the region of about 60 million or 70 million.
$60 million.
Dollars.
For how many months? Or
that means I'll pull it out. You continue.
Yeah, no, yeah, sure. Pull it up. That's how much I know Talo is owed. ENI is not owed that much. Of course, there's some security arrangement.
There's a backup gas arrangement.
Yes.
So you can always go back and take it.
This 800 is strange to me.
So we don't owe ENI.
Well, we owe
you. You see, with ENI, we have an arrangement.
There's a security arrangement that standby letter of credit arrangement that then swings back and forth.
Okay.
Payments are made, you know, it reduces, you know. So this 800 million, I haven't heard the figure.
Okay. But he says he's opening his report. Yeah.
And let's see.
But let me bring you in. There was a banter between the ranking and the chair about what the president put out in terms of some sort of negotiation with you, the IPPs. What's the status of that?
The fact is we have had a series of engagements. By the end of every engagement, there's supposed to be a concluding point to make this document useful and to call it a conclusive arrangement. We need to sign off. Until it is signed off, we cannot say that we have reached there. But let me confirm that we have very peaceful engagements on the issues concerned.
Okay. So almost sort of there's been a verbal agreement between the two parties.
Yes,
the parties.
Impliedly.
Okay.
But what is stopping the signing?
Okay.
That I cannot tell because
you're the CEO of the chamber.
What I mean is, on our part, we are ready to sign off.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And who isn't ready to sign? Government?
Oh,
is that what the problem is?
I don't think so, because I was involved.
Yes, you were involved.
I was involved.
Let's know.
Yes. I was involved in practically all the negotiations, the meetings that we held with all the IPPs. I don't know whether they want to conclude with Car Power before we sign all of them.
This is government. Okay.
Yes, I need to confirm. But I know that four IPPs, we have actually concluded the negotiations. Exchange of documents have gone, drafts have gone back and forth. But the actual signing hasn't been done. The only one that is outstanding is Car Power. That's the one that there's still some talking going on as we speak. Okay. But I need to confirm whether the thinking is, let's finish all of it before we sign, or that it will be useful to sign each one of them as and when we come.
Okay.
But that's okay.
But it would have been a good idea if, as it's finished, it's been signed, so that there's no discrepancies. Because if for nothing at all, some of the debt we haven't paid is going to accumulate.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge is.
So there's a figure that has been interest. Okay. I think it's in the region of about 1.6, 1.7 billion. Right? As of a certain cutoff date. The plan is that going forward, ECG will pay 70% or so of the invoices. And then the accumulation will be deferred. Okay. The extra will be deferred. So 2027, 2028 or so, and then that would also be paid for. Some discussion on extension of some PPAs. I mean, there's some, a lot of work has gone into it, and I'm sure that.
So maybe I don't know.
I'd have to confer with the chairman, who now is the Minister for Finance, because at the time it was Minister of State. Whether his view is that let's finish with all the negotiations before we sign up. But term sheets have been exchanged. We have agreed. So I fail to see how
Ejapa, you also made the point that ECG will pay some 70%. Have we identified where that ECG money is coming from?
Yeah, but
is it coming from the cash waterfall?
Yes,
it's coming from the cash waterfall. So if it's coming from the cash waterfall, we should make sure that collections are 100%.
Yeah.
Because you cannot afford the cash waterfall to go into debt and then they are not paid. You see, it creates a problem.
I'm glad that we're not doing the politicking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it helps. And I agree with JJ. And these are conversations that we're having with respect of the privatization or some private sector participation in the billing and collection. Discussions are far advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, typically you have the resistance from our friends in ECG. But it's something that I believe will help they themselves. Okay. And so we've tasked them to put in boundary meters as a first step that they are working on. Of course, their digitalization program that they're rolling out to is also helping with the collections. Okay. So when they are able to put the boundary meters in all their operational districts and know the volume of power that is going in every district, then you can introduce private sector people to bill and collect for the power that is coming into that enclave. So it's work that is ongoing.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that in the fullness of time, because 30% losses
is high.
Definitely not sustainable.
High.
So you're working towards taking ECG out of the collection of revenue?
They have to.
Okay.
They have to. We have to have private sector injection. Of course, people are prepared to invest in providing meters and all that prepaid, which they need $500 million to roll out across the country, as they've indicated. Of course, that money is not available. Okay, and so if you have people who have the capacity to then invest in putting the meters across the operational district that they give them to manage, then ECG is certain of the revenue coming in to enable them pay for the power that they buy from everybody else within the value chain.
A private contractor goes to collect and pay.
And it's something that they have already piloted.
Okay.
In some, I believe in Ashanti region, right?
No, even in Accra.
Okay.
BX.
No, SB.
But you see,
sometimes
you need to be a bit careful when we are talking about this whole issue about private sector participation.
Yeah, it's true.
Look, currently there is a lot of private sector activity involved in what ECG is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you make it appear that, people are sitting somewhere ready to just bring the money. Look, there is this project ECG has initiated, the LRP, where meter manufacturers are supposed to supply meters and then recoup their
returns
over time.
Mm-hmm.
Agreements have been signed with a number of meter companies.
Local meter companies, local. Yes.
But it's not so simplistic that as if we make it like the moment you mention private sector participation, then all the problems are resolved.
No, but of course, if it was that simple, it would have been implemented long ago. Mm.
So
that's why I said that it's still work in progress.
Yeah, but you see,
you have to have.
I challenge you to show me one instance where this type of privatization has worked in this country.
Which type of privatization?
The type of management contract type of arrangement, bringing a sole source or through a competitive process, bringing a strategic investor to perform whatever function in this country. And I will give you examples. At the time when Ghana Airways was at the brink of collapse, we brought in Speedwing, led by one Rex Lexat, to come and turn the fortunes around. At the time they were leaving, they left us with more debt than they inherited. I'll give another example. Aqua Betens Rand, who brought them to salvage Ghana Water.
Mm-hmm.
They created more mess than they met. So I just challenge you to give me one example where those type of private sector participation has worked.
You see,
we should also be mindful of the fact that whoever comes in as a private sector entity, okay, will not be here forever.
Mm.
But one of you mentioned that the PDS arrangement sort of brought some efficiency in the operations of the ECG.
Let me tell you what. There was some temporary efficiency, which for me